Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
The voice of, Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. And there he is, our very own counselor, Ahmad Tarak, fresh and ready. Hey, I call him the ever ready man. Ahmad Tarak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, beautiful Sunday morning, but it's very, very chilly in Durban today, Shafar.
Amen. Why are you reminding me of bhajia and with all that chutney, and then we'll go for that bundi and save and all that. But one thing I want to know from you, Ahmad, how come, you know, I don't know, you got the same tempo like me. When you come on air, but you got the movement, you got the spring, you got the sprightiness. What is it, the chow you eating or you connected somewhere, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, when you get up when you read your namaz and you get up in the morning, so you make it your duty. Whatever is going to come before you today, Allah will protect you. Allah will make it easy for you. And that's how you do it. So automatically, everything just comes together, Shafat.
Hey, I tell you, Ahmad, you gave our secret away. Hey, it's all about Allah power, people. You know, high spiritual octane. Yeah, it comes from Allah, Allah, Allah. Now, Ahmad, we talk about Allah. We're going to meet Allah. We came from Allah. And to Allah shall we return. What's the latest in the kafan dafan side of it, Ahmad?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, we must be shukr that alhamdulillah at the moment things are very, very quiet. There is no issues or anything. Obviously, the government issue in terms of people, the only issue that we are faced at the moment is getting the DNA from Victoria. There's a lot of attorney, lot of legal firms are keep asking me, please, Ahmad Parak, help us, man. We got people are waiting to wind up the state and they cannot get paid because they haven't got the DNA test report from Pretoria. And these were 21, 22, 2018, 2017 matters that still have not been concluded. So there is a massive backlog in Pretoria. So there's nothing more. Nobody can do anything at the moment. So we are fighting every day, whoever I can help, because you know, some are widows now. They need the money. They can't access the money. The bank accounts are frozen. So these are the issues that I'm taking up personally. And when I was in Pretoria about a week ago, I also credit up issue with that. And now I'm going to be sending a letter this coming week because, you know, some of these people cannot wait any longer now. You know, they're really, really, really desperate. And now, there is money there, but they will become zakatable because there is no money for them to access to keep to pay the rental, food, and everything. Yet the monies are there, but unfortunately, it's been frozen due to post-mortem reports that are still outstanding in Pretoria. So these are the issues that I'm taking. There's a few families that I'm helping at the moment to get it sorted out.
You know, Ahmad, that's a very sad situation indeed. And then you have these stories of certain family members, you know, that they had huge properties and so forth. And years in and years out, they were having squabbles and so forth. And then the estate, you know, wasn't wound. And then one person passed away. So, and from the 10 inheritors, 9 had passed on. And only one was left, and that person passed on. And then the attorneys that were handling it were looking for relatives. And then when they got the relatives, and the relatives, they said, hey, but, you know, it'll be difficult to prove this and to prove that. I mean, how do you advise to people not to come to this type of dead end, Ahmad?
Shafat, in Sharia, Allah made it very, very easy for, you know, if you look at the Sharia law, you know, our inheritance law is very, very simple. You know, what we failed is not making a proper will. And if you made a will, this problem should have been solved long, long, long time ago. And in fact, you don't have to wait for the post-mortem report or anything. You can even then send it up because then the state knows that the matter, if it was unnatural causes, therefore, the matter, the post-mortem report will come And most time, the registrar's office will sort the matter out which as possible. But in most cases, because they haven't made wills and all that, they leave it till the last, and then that's when the main jagara starts. Then he said, my dad told me I should be getting that, I should be getting that. Then they don't talk for years and all that. But if the dividends or and the matter was sorted out prior to the debt, so it will make it much easier. So it, no problem is there. They take it out. I have got in my possession maybe about 8 or 9 people have left the wills with me. And after that, when the person has passed away, I call up a meeting and I make sure I get a good attorney that, you know, they take minutes and all that. So later on, this family mustn't come and say, you know what, how did you get that? When you, who, why did my father left it by you? Why he didn't leave it by our attorney? Why he had other family members? You know, some people just, you know, they because I'm doing the deen work, they left it by me. I take that out. I call up a meeting after a week, 2 weeks later, after the demise of the person, and say, there's a will here. And I tell the attorney to read the will out accordingly. And 9 out of 10, most of them, because I had the will and the lawyer there, it is signed. I said, we make copies for all the heirs in that family. Say, there's 5 heirs there, there's 5. We make 5 copies of it. We make them sign, David, yeah, take it to your own attorney and have a look at it. You can verify the signature, you can verify everything. This was told. And you know what? In no time, the matter has been solved and everybody is happy. At least he said, you know, at least we know our dad left this, that, to who and everything. It's fine. Khalas, done. And it's all done according to Sharia law. So, you know, there's nobody is getting shortchanged or anything like that.
JazakAllah for sharing that, Ahmad, this message on the screen. And Ghaffar says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Farooq, Bhai Shafaz, and the team. Please, Ahmad Farooq, I'd like to know when there is a missing persons report, how many years later is that missing person declared dead? Ahmad?
Shafaz, firstly, for a missing person, there must be a case number. Once a case number is generated, then he can go and go to Home Affairs, and then he have to generate a death certificate. Once the death certificate is after a period of 18 months, then a death certificate is generated, and there's all investigation has been done. There's no issues or anything like that. Once the death certificate has been generated from Home Affairs, then he can give it to his lawyers, and then he can apply to then the matter has been closed, and if he's got any insurance or anything, then he can go and claim the insurance. That's how it is.
Message on the screen. I said, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmad Farooq, I've got quite a big plot of land. I'm looking forward to having my own cover in my own plot of land. How do I go about it, Ahmad? Ahmad?
So that's a very, very good question. Depending where the land is, number one. Number two is if it's into a residential area, then you might have a problem because, you know, you might have objection from the residents. Two. Three is then he has to first apply to get that land zone has a cemetery. Once that has been zoned, then only, because there's a lot of process. It can take anything from 12 to 3 years. Because you need environment tests, soil tests, you need all the various tests. Then you need an architect, you need an engineer, because there's, you've got streams running in the land, and the water content, all that has to be taken into account. Once all that has been done, then if there is no objections or anything like that, then that can be turned into a cemetery. There's no problems like that. There's no issues. Is there that it will be a stumbling block or anything like that, that can be moved as a cemetery and be zoned as a cemetery.
Yeah, Ahmad, you know, you make a point, because as you said, if it's in a residential area, no, you can't have a cemetery there. You know the different types of neighbors you get. Oh, I don't want to spook and this and that. People still talk like that, Ahmad, then how do you address them? You know, you how when people have this type of mindset, you know, spook, devil, and or, you know, going to the cemetery and you're going to get caught by this and that. How do you talk to them, Ahmad, and put their mind straight?
Shafat, we were fortunate. Like, if you see, go to Overport, if you've got, you know, you've got the Hilal Cemetery there, you've got Ground Avenue Cemetery, then, you know, in our residential area, we got, if you go to Browns Avenue, the cemetery is adjoining a block of flats and houses there. But it was done in the old days, and the Africana government, they knew how our deen works, how our right of religion is concerned and everything. And that kind of, our forefathers had a foresight. First thing they did was masjid, cemetery, all that they put in place. But today we have a big issue when it comes to cemetery, because nobody wants, we had an issue in my time in Westwood. Some prominent people and all that, they didn't want the hearse to go in front of their in their road to go into the cemetery where we demarcated a land. We wanted to apply to the council to change that land into a cemetery. So they didn't allow us that because, you know, they said, no, there's a school around the corner. It will be traumatizing to the children and everything. But who objected? It was our people. You know, Shafat, I can't understand. You know, for deen, this is the cemetery. It will be barricaded. It's not going to be visible to anyone. Only the hearse comes through, and then you will find cars coming when they're coming to bury the person. That's the only thing that will happen. And it is happening at the moment. If you go to the heart of Overport, there's Browns Avenue there, Hilali is there. So, you know, people seeing everything. How come? Why they want to have to object? They said, no, it will bring the value of the property. Myself, well, you got a property for 100 million. Tomorrow you leave. In 5 years down the line, if the new government or new, say, Allah forbids, EFF comes into power and he says now he's going to bring all the property market down to where it was 100 million, now it's only worth 25 million. What do you want to do? There's nothing you can do. So end of the day, I can't understand what more prime property than a cemetery it is going to be. You know, there where people are buried, Muslims are buried. So, you know, I can't understand why people will object, Shafat. Shafat, the good news is that the Turkish president is back in Istanbul, is going to serve another term in office as a president. That is a very, very good news. But, you know, the problem that he's going to be faced with, the international community are going to put a lot of pressure on him because, you know what, he was, you know, he's been a president that took no nonsense from anyone else, including the US and the UK. So that's where the problem is going to come. So he's going to be fighting a battle where with some sanctions are going to be coming his way and all that. But nevertheless, you know what, the main thing, he's there and he's a president, he's an upright president, that he's for the people. That's why he's got the 52.2% support in Turkey. And that is a very, very good sign. Then the other issue is in Sudan, you know, the debt at the market that is, you know, this has been orchestrated by the West, this issue here. I think, you know, in all these war-torn countries, I think that the thing, if there is no interference from the outside and from the West, they can't solve these issues out. Let them solve the issues out themselves instead of the West is getting involved, because they only want to make money out of it to sell military equipment and everything else. And this is where our biggest problem is, that we want to get involved there because to sell military equipment and, you know, to keep it going. Because otherwise, if, you know, the West do not sell military equipment to the Middle East, and you know what happens. There's no more business left for them. So that is, they keep making what you can say, chair char, to make to make two brothers fight, and that is their job, and this is what they're doing, Shafat.
A good point there. Indeed, Ahmad, you know, as you say, all this is coming on, and you know, Erdogan, perhaps he's got the backing of Putin and China and many others. We'll see. We'll watch the space, alhamdulillah. You know, the other day I was talking to a brother and he said, you know, Chef, you must discuss this with Ahmad Parak about the whole, you know, of the Durban, the beachfront. It was based on the English's, architecture, and everything was done how England was. And he says, if you really looked at the beachfront and you go to England, you'll find that, most of our design was like the Eastbourne in England. And all that is still intact, because what can Africa, if you go throughout Africa, they have all the remnants of the colonial masters in their lands, in their cities. What can they produce? I mean, that was a very powerful question indeed. Durban, if you still look at it, it has the remnants of UK, and the British influence. Ahmed, your thoughts?
Shafat, that time when the architects, the engineers, they all were from the UK, America, various countries in the West that came and assisted the apartheid government. And if you look at it, the architecture is still intact there, and that's why you will find our city hall. If you take our city hall, how it's built, and you go overseas and look at the structure, very, very little difference. So that, it was copy and paste, yeah, but the thing is, it's still standing here because they did it the right way. Today, we can have the best architects here in our country. They are doing things, but you know what? Things are not standing like the 50 years, 100 years, 200 years and all that. That is the issue that we are faced with. And we're not maintaining what we got. That is the biggest problem that we face in government, and we are faced especially in the city. And I keep bringing this up in various meetings in the council, that whatever we got, just maintain what we have got first, and then things will start coming right, because now you are looking after that infrastructure, what little we have got, and build from there onward. That is our problem, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, and there's a story about this Imbalula, Fikile Imbalula, and AfriForum's ultimatum over investigations into Imbalula's family's going into Dubai and having holidays and extravagant holidays. I mean, besides Imbalula, maybe many other ministers are complicit, taking lots of holidays and taking the whole family there. And it seems like, most of them got the investment there in Dubai. Your thoughts there, Ahmed?
Shafat, to skin a cat is very, very easy in council, in government. They look for a niche market where you need to do something urgently. And they do it such a way that they will find either in a Christmas period when the parliament is closed, our city is at recess. So what they do is, unfortunately, how they looted recently was with the floods. Now, when you have a flood, it becomes a state of disaster. Now, in terms of state of disaster, they bring a Rule 36 there. A Rule 36 is, in other words, it gives you the power not to bring anything before the full council. Do it and then tell us. In other words, do it and then come and tell us that you have already did A, B, C. So if the thing costs 50 million, they'll put it there 75 million. So 25 million now is gone to the ruling party. So that's how they're building their coffers for the 2024 election, because they know we closed that gap. Take this week, we had a meeting, a special meeting at the exhibition center regarding, they wanted to pass the budget, and you know that. I think you must be discussed this in one of your programs in the other stations, and there's a 65 million budget for the 1st of July that will be kicking in, Shafat. Now, when you bring a budget like that, firstly, we objected, and most of the opposition objected, that we cannot pass this budget because of, one, the rates you wanted, 22.5%. Now, you said you re-looked at it and you brought it to 18.7%. The water from 8.2%, you brought it to 6%. The long and the short is, in all the tariffs increase in everything, electricity and everything, and everything, there's a way they work out the tariff increase. We said we don't have a problem with the tariff increase, but in the last 2 to 3 years, you put in increase. Every single year, you put in increase, increase. If you have put increase in the last 3 years for ESCOM, because ESCOM wanted 20%, 20%, 18%, we keep giving them. But tell us, when the whole entire country is giving you so much of money in increases of tariff, what have you done? There's not, in the last 3 years, there's not one power station is been put up. Only the people are buying solar power from, buying panels from overseas and putting their own solar power to get out of your systems. But where is the money going? So we objected to that. Unfortunately, we were defeated with 105 against 74 votes. That was a problem. We did everything. I even mobilized people. All the ratepayers came to that meeting there. They were interviewed there. And we all objected. But the matter is, because the ruling party and the EFF get together, they got the majority and they voted us out because we only had 74 votes. Now, the thing is this, who is suffering? They don't understand that their own people are suffering. If you go to all these areas, in the rural areas and everywhere, when you see, can you, you know, last year, Shafat, there was only about 500 and maybe 20 informal settlements. Now they're standing on about another 100 over and above that to about 600 plus informal settlements. They are bluffing us now. In Spingo Beach, they're taking those 350, those houses were burnt in the informal settlement, you know that, which they're getting better view than the people living in Spingo Beach and Amstlanga and Belito and everything. They're getting sea view, but they got informal shack there, informal journals there. They're staying there. Now they're saying, no. What we did was we managed to get money. We have built up homes for them. In the next month or so, they will be moving away from there. But yet, there was 122 million set aside, came by, from part of it was grant and part of it from national government. 122 million was deposited into our Itigwini municipal account, was given to us, but you won't believe it. They did absolutely nothing about it. The full 122 million was returned. Then there was another 300 million was also given from the human settlement from national government to assist to because of the floods and everything to make homes and assist the sewer and everything else. Absolutely nothing. So 500 million went out of our coffers by virtue of not doing anything because we got people there can't work out how we should utilize money for this project, that project. Put a project manager, do something, get your HR department, right, who can do things and make things happen. But all that money was sent away back to national government. And to get it back from them, you're not going to get it because that will help them to fund something else somewhere else and take that money for the election next year. That's what's going to happen, Shafat.
Yeah, Mada, you talk about the resettlement of those informal settlements in Dakota to Umlazi. In other words, if they take them all out and Toyota will perhaps build offices there, Ahmad?
Shafak, that is prime land. In fact, I don't think you can build much there because of the height from if you go from Spingo Beach from the top and because it's a very, but there is some area from Dakota where the flatland, where the nightclub there previously, what was that there, if I remember, Pavilion
Palladium.
Palladium. Yeah. That is now gone ruined to the bits there. Everything is taken out from that. That section will be utilized, but they're trying their best now to take them out, to relocate them. But I don't know if they can, everybody can be relocated. I'm not sure. But I know that 350, it was passed in council. Those houses are ready. But in the next month, those people will be moved.
Oh, there's still more there too, but Zakala for the update. Ahmad, you look at, I'm looking at a headline here. It says that the New Germany's Ratepayers Association pleads with residents to respect the neighborhood and stop dumping illegally. Ahmad, this is a humongous problem because in most neighborhoods, people are dumping illegally. and they say no one's looking. People got drones today. People got cameras that's catching you. And, you know, sometimes you play like, hey, I'm looking over my shoulder and Allah is watching you. Talk to us about this and, you know, warn those people that are illegally dumping, Ahmad, and what are the consequences?
Shafar, first and foremost, for illegal dumping, there's a 5,000 man fine and a 30-day imprisonment for that. In fact, I was a few weeks ago, I was taking a walk down, you know, I take a walk to the masjid and I was walking down Musgrave. I saw one guy with a big trolley with all branches and everything in it. And the big thing, he tied it up and I said, where are you taking this thing? He said, no, I got a place there. I said, no, hold on. You go and take it back to your where you cut this thing. Now look at how people, in a night, they're telling this guy to go and dump it because nobody will see him or anything like that. So I turned him because this guy I knew because he do, he's a car guard in the area. So I knew him very well and he knows me too. I said, you know what? I know where you want to go and dump this near the sports field or something there. You're going to make a big problem. And I'm telling you, I will make sure I'm going to take a drive after Moss. I'm going to take a drive and I'm going to see if this thing here, and if I see you on the road, I promise you I'm going to get you locked up. Shafat, the guy took a U-turn and he went back to the person's home and he said, no, the counselor met me and he says he's going to, and he knows where this thing is coming from. So I asked him his address. He said, so and so. So I said, I'm going to go and see there whether the dirt is whatever they cut tonight and it must go back to him. He must put it in the bin bags, leave it on the road. On a Tuesday or Thursday, they'll come and pick it up. There's special green bags for that, for grass and all these things. So why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he, you want to make it difficult for somebody else? So this is what happens in most areas. The people just clean their yard and everything. They find a spot, they just go and dump it there. And then it makes it difficult for our city. Then we got to get parks and gardens to go and clear that up. And then what we're doing in most areas now, all the ratepayers, we're telling them where he's coming from, photograph that thing, who is doing it, photograph that guy as well. And then we get Metro Police, they lock them up straight away, 5,000 rand fine, Shafat. Even in town, I know a lot of my friends and all came to me, hey, Ahmad Parak, see, I've got 5,000 rand. My goods came, my guys left the boxes outside. I said, why you left the boxes outside? Because you're making all those, you're bringing all those riffraffs around here, so that's where you got fined. Now you need to go to the municipal courts here in Somsi Road and go and talk to them, tell them what happened. Maybe they might reduce your fine. That's all which can be done.
Yeah, Ahmad, the message here says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. May I remind the people that most councillors are not have not done the job, and many, when they leave the job, have fat bank balances. It is so sad. What do we do, Ahmad, to ensure that these type of people don't enter council? I was reading in the newspaper the other day, there was an EFF councillor that was also doing handiwork on the sideline to supplement the income. What a greedy bunch. Ahmad, how you respond to that correspondence?
Shafat, first and foremost, if you get your ward is 90, Swingo Beach. My ward is Ward 31. The people vote for a ward councillor. His photos will go up on the street polls and everything. The people voted for him. So he is now, or he or she is accountable for the ward. So any issues you have, you then go to your ward councillor and you go to him and you tell him, or you send him an email, send him a fax, send him a WhatsApp, and he must respond to you. And that's when you will get things done, because he's been put there. And if he doesn't do that, then you write to his party, and then you write to the speaker's office at the council. Tell him, this ward councillor is from DA. There's my correspondence here. I've been trying to get A, B, C, D. And that guy can be removed from his position, and they will have to have a by-election to bring somebody who will be able to do the work. In my case, I'm not a ward councillor because I came in under the PR system. Now, in the PR system, I can look after the whole entire 111 wards. I can assist any ward I want to. Wherever there is problem, I go and assist them. If there is problem in Spingo Beach, they ask me for assistance. I intervene there with the counselor, or without the counselor, I can write direct to the counselor and say, A, B, C, D is a problem in Dyker Road there. I need to be sorted out. And if nothing happens, then I write to the city manager and the speaker and the department. I want this thing to be sorted out. Nothing happens, then you know what I do. I got no option. Then I bring the ceiling down on them with the press and do whatever. I take my team there and then we go and take photographs and everything, and we make things happen, Shafan. That's how we do things. We exposed in the last 3 months, you know, the Rosu, we in high court. We've been making them jump. Then the guy was in prison. One of the Ward 101 guy was in prison for the last 12 months, yet he was getting his full salary from the council. We exposed it. We exposed the nutritional program for the schools, where they got 2.1 billion rand. Tender was awarded. The school was getting all rotten fruits and veg and everything. So how people were getting diarrhea, the students were getting diarrhea in that. We exposed that. We went to about 16 schools. We went and met the school governing bodies. We met the principal. Some of the principals gave us uphill. They didn't want to talk because they wanted to safeguard their job. Fine. But then the school governing body, and we took some of the high, and this was done in high schools and all. And some of these guys were 16 and 14 years. They could talk. They could give us information. We took all that information. We exposed them. And today, see, Shafat, every school is getting the nutritional program on time, and we make things happen. This is what we do. We go out there and we make things happen. Tomorrow, I don't want to reveal on radio today, but you'll see, you'll watch the space, what we're going tomorrow. We've got an appointment tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Our team is going there, and we're going to expose somebody big in the city here, and you're going to see what happens in the next week.
I'm also, you know, they're talking about this multi-million rand statues of Nelson Mandela and Oliver Tambo. And these contracts were given to the Chinese. I mean, it's equating a lot of money to waste on statues, Ahmad.
Shafat, this is a very, very patent question that whoever listening brought it up. I sit in the committee called for Parks and Garden. And this is one of this thing in the community service committee, I said. This thing came before us last year. They paid in 2017. Listen to this very carefully. 2017, they paid in China. They paid, you know, to get anything done from China or internationally, you got to pay with the LC, or you pay upfront and then you get your delivery and everything. That's how it happens. So this was already paid in 2017. Then the statue did not come till about 2020 because of folkovers. Around about 2021, it came into the city. Now, the contractor said, you know what, for me to put this thing up, I need another 10 bars. So the statue cost 10 million plus another 10 million to put it up. It came to our committee. I objected to this. I said, you know what? There's no way we want to put 10 million rand. You are now, the only way I had a problem is, this is already paid and it's been delivered to us. If it sits in their warehouses, in a council warehouses, a statue being paid for 10 million rand, and in no time, they'll use that thing for copper just now. So now we in a catch 22. 10 million the guy wants. So we objected with the opposition party. So the ANC passed the resolution on the basis that, you know what, it's already here. We paid this thing on 2017. We got no option, but we want to put it up. Now that's where the outcry from the public and from the community is. Why go and put 20 million rand statue, for Mandela statue in the city hall, when we don't need one at the moment? We could use the 20 million to put up another, how many houses, how many people are suffering for water, electricity, Rosu is not getting, how many houses, how many plans are at the standstill. They cannot get the plans passed because we don't have further infrastructure to connect Rosu. Therefore, they cannot pass the plan. This is the problem we have in the city. This is, we couldn't do anything. That is, eventually, that statue will go up because 10 million in 2017 was already paid. Now, the debate is for the amount of money to put it up.
Ahmad, I mean, it actually makes no sense at all that, you know, they don't get the ducks in order and then they have to pay double over whatever they do. And what about the shootings, you know, at Ushaka Airport, you know, hijacking and so forth and people being shot dead? And I mean, what's happening, Ahmad? And, there was that lecturer taken from Mangosuthu Technikon and his body was found in Durban North. It seems as if the country is ready. Kidnapping is on the up. And everything is going a pear shape, and it's still staying a pear shape, Ahmad.
Shafat, you know, making Kerala Davis the quarterly report on the SAPS. 80 people are murdered per day. The hijacking has gone to another 15 to 20%. It's escalated from the last 2022 or 23. Now we're on to this 23. So it has escalated. People have got standing orders for vehicles. This was a hijacking because the guy was coming from the university from there and he went to the airport and he was coming from the report I've got. So they were hijacking his vehicle and this is the vehicle. It's a Toyota one-ton bucky they wanted to hijack from him. And in Friday night, a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, went to Channelwood Road to go and see somebody. It was about 10:15. They followed him, and this guy is slightly disabled too. And you know what he did? He went into the driveway, he stopped, he opened his vehicle, he said, take the vehicle. They took it eventually. After a day, they found his vehicle in an ambulance. It was a Mercedes Benz. Hijacking on an every day, you're getting maybe in our city, maybe 30 or 40 a day. That's how bad it is. Because there's, you know, without, you know, you hijack something, you must have a seller. And they got a, you know, like how you order from Pick and Pay or whoever you order your groceries and all. Today they got the 60 minutes delivery to your doorstep and all. They have got an outstanding, like a book order, orders for this vehicle, that vehicle. And they strip it, and some of them, most of them are going to Maputo, out of the border, and you can't even track it. That's how it is at the moment, Shabbat. That's not because our systems are very, very weak in terms of our borders, and yet we put in additional 200 manpower into SEPs. It's not going to help because, you know, we're still far short. But because everyone from station level right up to everywhere, they are corrupt, that's why we cannot get things done. And nobody is getting convicted. That is the problem.
Tell you, straight talk with Ahmad Aparak, really a treat for the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah on a Sunday morning. Ahmad, your parting words this morning?
Shafat, things are rapidly happening in this country. And my personal opinion is we need to, you know what they say, tie your camel. Just get our ducks in a row and start objecting for everything that is wrong. The more the city, the government get letters, they get information from the people, like the people on the ground, it makes a big difference. People will say, you know what, we send a letter, we don't even get a response. But that letter that you didn't get a response, but by virtue of sending that letter, you bring through to us, that all helps us to fight cases. That makes our job much easier. And that's why I tell anyone, send an email to the city manager. Send a mail email to the speaker. Send an email to the government. That Home Affairs, Department of Water, Electricity. You have to keep sending. The more people send all this issue, that gives us the muscle. When we're going to court, like especially now, there's a pre-trial will be coming for our matter at the High Court. We'll be sitting. We got enough evidence to nail them and get a judgment. Once you get a judgment, then we're compelling them to do what we want them to do. That's what we're asking the community to do for us, Shafa.
Jazakallah khair, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.